Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Ask Coach Mac. This is episode number 56. Appreciate you guys being with me today. Apologize for being off the grid a little bit with these Ask Coach Mac episodes. Been traveling quite a bit. As you all know, I went to, we've done a summit in Australia. We did a summit in Noblesville. Both were fantastic events and just had a great time interacting with people there. Also been speaking at a couple different events and traveling for other work-related things, but want to make sure that we get back and get going on our Ask Coach Mac episodes each week. As you guys know, this is something that I do on Facebook Live, and I'll answer your questions either through email that I get or social questions, or obviously here live on Facebook Live as well. So leave your questions below. As you're jumping in, if you're just jumping in, let me know you're here so I can see. I'm using a different software, so I can't always see on Facebook who's jumping on. But let me know you're here, and I'll jump right into these questions here. So the first question I got is from Mario. Mario asked, what are some of the easiest things to overlook in a team strength and conditioning program? And I think the thing that's the biggest thing that gets overlooked is logistics and flow. I think so many times we have a pretty good understanding of what we want to do from a programming standpoint, what we want to do from a leadership and accountability standpoint. But then all of a sudden we get into the workout, we realize we didn't put as much thought into the logistics and the flow and making it all to work together and orchestrating the dynamics. It's easier said than done. I mean, it's really the art of what we do, you know? And so, what I typically do is, I put our guys into groups of four. And basically that becomes two groups of two. And, you know, my lifting partner in college was one of the guys that stood up in my wedding. It's the guy that doesn't, you know, is not going to tell you what you want to hear. It's going to be the guy that tells you, what you need to hear. And, you know, and so as a coach, I hold the athlete, the partner as accountable as I do the athlete, because they're letting them get away with stuff if they're not doing what I need them to do. And so really that group of four through our multi-joint movements, our first three tiers, typically we're going to stay as a group of four because, you know, I want to keep that work to rest ratio. But I, you know, then I group them up into groups of two and it kind of goes, you go, I go. And nobody's ever standing around. We're always doing something. So even when we're in a group of four, one guy's going, one guy's spotting, one guy's doing what we call metabolic, one guy is doing some sort of patterning movement. And then we transitioned into our core movements, core exercises, I should say, as we go through the rest of the exercise. And so it's either some sort of recovery or some sort of core or the movement itself. And so we keep them always going. So, I think the minute that you stop having them move, oftentimes that's when you lose them in the workout. And so we want to keep them constantly moving, constantly interacting with one another, and then holding each other extremely accountable as we go. Next question was, could you give an example breakdown of a specific or a special workout and how it's incorporated or implemented? And I think I often talk about when I present us doing special workouts, you know, and every fourth week I'll do a special workout with our athletes. And usually that's themed. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do is we have eight teams and we do eight stations, and it's either a race to complete either for time. You know, and so each station, you're going to record the amount of time that it takes to complete that station, or each station's worth a certain number of points and we tier it in almost a decathlon type of scoring where first place is worth 8 points and obviously eighth place is worth 1 point. Typically I let them dress up. I let them, you know, or it's theme. Maybe it's a 4th of July workout. Maybe it's, we just recently did, a Valentine's Day massacre workout where, in years past, I've put a Jason mask on and ran around and scared the guys and had the theme music playing and all that. But I think mixing it up and incorporating some fun into your workouts, incorporating a lot of interaction and just anything that's outside of the norm with your athletes, I think is always great. Chris from Miami asks, in your opinion, what is the most challenging part about transitioning to a new school program? How did you overcome any obstacles that you came across the way while making that transition? And, I think that's tough. I mean, fortunately for me, I've been quite a few places, but typically they were either going in with a new staff or, it was just the right amount of time or whatever. But the toughest thing by far, in my opinion, is essentially building relationships. I think what we do as strength coaches, so much of it is dependent upon building relationships that, you have to go about that any way that you possibly can. And so I think for me, that's the challenge. And that's my advice is to go in, not overstating things. I think sometimes, athletes are, they've heard it all, a lot of times they've maybe had 3 defense line coaches and 2 ed coaches and however many ADs and on and on and on. And so each person comes in and talks about how great they are and how great that's going to be. And they try to paint this picture and all that. And I think that's great. I think you should do that to some degree, but there's also some realness that needs to happen where, hey, look, I know that you've been told this. I know that these are the things that, typically you want me to hear, but what I tell people is, first let, hold me accountable to, making sure that you reach your goals and, and then basically, that I care about you, more than a person as a player. And then I'm going to hold you accountable to reaching your goals. And as long as you can get on the same page that way, I think oftentimes, you just go right to work, and then earn your trust and be real about that. Let them know that, over time you're going to earn their trust and that you're going to prove to them that you care about them as a person and that you are going to hold them accountable to reaching their goals. And I think those things oftentimes win out in the end, and you gotta do it. There's no other way other than to do it. There's no other way, in my opinion. Anthony asks, what is my favorite variation of squat and why? Anthony, I don't really have a favorite squat per se. I like the squat exercise. Obviously, it's going to be my program. I test the squat, so we're going to work towards a 1RM in that. I think, squatting is very, very important, and I think all the variations are very important. From a teaching perspective, I like the front squat. I think that, puts you in a very safe environment where, there's not as much, obviously, there's not as much spinal loading. It's going to force you to keep the bar over your center of mass or you're going to fall forward. It typically forces you to have good technique or exposes you very quickly if you do have bad technique. And you can reiterate that. I also like the overhead squat for the very same reasons. I think you can't go very, can't go very heavy overhead. It forces you to squat in a good pattern. And so typically, I will use those two exercises in my teaching progressions to make sure that we're getting technique right. And then we'll progress, obviously, to spinal loading and the back squat. But I want to get there as fast as I possibly can. And so we're going to try to graduate those athletes as quickly as we can through the those progressions. Chris, guys, I'm going to, go through my questions. And if I have any questions, I'll answer them as I go, but post your questions so I can see them, and I'll try to get to as many of them as I can. Try to go about 15 to 20 minutes on these things and then jump off. Chris asks, he has a nagging hamstring injury that he's been dealing with for about 8 months. Finally broke down and went to a medical. He's in the military and to get a referral to sports medicine, but his appointment's not for another month or so. And he's got, it's basically asking any advice. And obviously, you know, I'm not a medical professional. So you got to take everything that I say with a grain of salt. And there's not a whole lot that I can tell you that a medical doctor wouldn't. But rest, ice, compression, elevation, that's your typical RICE acronym there, that, you know, make sure you're doing those things, you know, getting rest, getting it elevated, getting it compressed when you are doing something, icing when you have done something, you know, if you're walking or whatever, and staying consistent with that. So many times most people, they don't want to do those things because they're not sexy answers, but those are the things that lead to being able to rest and get them, get it back appropriately. I love PNF stretching, you know, stretching with a partner, providing a little bit of resistance, relaxing, trying to extend that range of motion. Obviously, you got to be careful with, you know, an injured limb, but on the front end of an injury, I think that helps, you know, activating the muscle and some of those vulnerable positions. I think done properly, you can do some things. And I think, you know, if you get into some advanced stuff with occlusion training and when you are injured and trying to maintain, you know, your size and mass and your strength, using occlusion training, I think is good as well. And so I would look into that as you go. Awesome. Guys, I love these episodes. I try to make them short and sweet. We post these as Ask Coach Mac episodes on my website, RonMcKeefer.com, as well as on iTunes and whatnot. So make sure you're subscribing to that. If you're watching the replays of these, please, you know, like, comment, share. Honestly, I do them when it's convenient for me. And I know that that's not always convenient for people that are watching live. I think it's in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, so everybody's probably working. But if you do watch this on the back end, please share, comment, like, post some questions, and I'll add those to future episodes as well. And make sure you're subscribing to the podcast. When you do so, you get the Ask Coach Mac episodes, you get the Iron Game Chalk Talk episodes, and the Pass the Mic episodes. And so make sure you're doing that as well. I always end the show with some quotes. You know, the quote that I have is from an unknown author. He says, or he or she says, there will always be a reason why you meet people. Either you need them to change your life, or you're the one that will change theirs. And I firmly believe that. I think we're all placed in this world to affect change in a positive way, impact people in a positive way. I would encourage you to make an impact on somebody today. I want to thank our sponsor, Woodway, for this episode. You know, if you are in the market for treadmill, make sure you're checking them out. I mean, it's by far the best one. It's not even close in my opinion, but Woodway is a fantastic partner and appreciate them being a part of the show as well. So see you guys. We'll talk to you on the other side.